On the record. On News Talk.
With Pinergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
Let's go back to that news which has been developing this morning. The temporary deferral, suspension, pause, call it what you will, of the administration of the AstraZeneca vaccine in Ireland. We are joined now on the line by the chairperson of the National Advisory Immunisation Committee, that is Professor Carina Butler. Professor, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
And thank you very much for joining us this morning. Can I first of all just ask you to talk us through the timeline of the events of the last 16 hours or so and when you first received this new report from Norway?
Yes. It has been a very difficult last 16 or so hours indeed, because, I mean, we know that we're all facing the difficulties of COVID, that COVID's still circulating in our community, and that COVID can cause very serious illness and complications, including things like clots. And we know, and we've been very reassured by the benefit of AstraZeneca vaccine. It's a really good vaccine. And we've seen from the Scottish data how it has dramatically reduced admissions to hospital. And so all of that looked really, really encouraging. Earlier this week, we heard that there were some concerns about some clotting events, first from Austria, where they thought that it might have been related to a batch of AstraZeneca. Then there was one from Denmark, where they felt it wasn't a batch related, but maybe related following the vaccine, but not known whether this was just a normal background rate, because these things happen in people regardless of whether they've had a vaccine or not. That was looked at during the week by the European Medicines Agency, by the UK agency, and by AstraZeneca. And in fact, they concluded that overall, in terms of clotting events, if anything, they were lower than you would expect in the population if you took the overall numbers. And most of them were, if you like, the uncomplicated clotting events, maybe a clot in the leg or a vein like that, that could be treated and managed very easily. What changed? And we had given an opinion of that and said, no, at this stage, the risk benefit, definitely the benefit weighs in favor of getting the vaccine. Any risk, if there is, there is very, 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 very remote. What changed was that late yesterday evening, there was an alert from Norway to the HPRA here that there had been what seemed like a cluster of four very serious clotting events, three of which involved clots in the brain, one fatal. And they were similar to some very sporadic events that had happened throughout Europe at a very low number. And then the question was there the possibility of a relationship with the vaccine with something that was rare but very serious and could have significant outcomes? So with that, the question was, well, where does the balance lie? But this is a safety signal. We don't have the details yet whether these events occurred in people who had other reasons for having them happen. We don't have fully the information yet. Are these very complicated events happening at a frequency that is greater than you would expect in an unvaccinated population? But they do seem to have clustered together at a level and in younger people, when I say younger, I mean less than 65, where we wouldn't necessarily have expected them to happen. And thus the question was, should we just pause till we get that more information? Because above all, we want to maintain confidence in the vaccine program so that people can feel that what they're getting is safe, that any serious safety signal is been thoroughly investigated, and that if they're getting the vaccine, they can know that it is the absolute best thing for them to do at that time. So very difficult to pause, but the right thing to do at this point in time, and hoping that as the investigation goes on and the EMA are doing a rapid review at the moment, that I really hope that in a week's time, I'll be able to talk to you and say, look, we reacted out of an absolute abundance of caution. Now, with retrospect, we can say that actually we may be overreacted, but I'm very happy that the confidence is there that we can resume with this vaccine, which we know is very effective at preventing COVID.
Okay.
And COVID itself is a cause, can be a cause of clotting problems as well.
Yeah, which is something that I've seen noted a bit more widely this morning, and it is something that's worth bearing in mind as well. Just to pick you up on one of the last points that you made there, that you'd hope to be coming back on in a week's time or so, what are the next steps here? Are you going to be waiting for a full EMA evaluation? Is there anything you can do independently, domestically, or what are the next steps?
Oh, yes. Here? Yeah, no, over the time, we'll obviously be trying to get all the information that we can, more detail actually on the events, on whether there were other things that were predisposing people to those events, details on what are background rates. I can say that in the over 117,000 doses of AstraZeneca vaccine that have been delivered here before, we've had no reports of similar events. There have been very small numbers of some clot events, as you would expect from in the population at this time. But we've had no similar events of these more complicated, serious events that have occurred. So
there will be
will be looking at that.
Sorry,
and
Craig,
looking and from other jurisdictions as well, and seeing, you know, everybody is going to be looking now to see, is there something like that? Is the safety signal, is it a true safety signal, or is it just that these, you know, sometimes even rare events just happen to cluster by chance. You know, you could say that you could look at winning the lotto. And in Ireland, there are certain counties that there have been more lotto wins than anything else. It's a chance occurrence.
It could just be chance, and that's
it
fine.
It could just be chance.
Is there then a timetable in your mind for what those next steps will be? Or do you just need to wait for that evidence to be assembled before you can make any moves?
Well, I think there's going to be a marked urgency in getting all the evidence together as fast as can. The EMA had already started that review and sent out, and we're hoping to have preliminary information back before the end of the week.
On a more practical level then, what will happen in the meantime to those who had appointments for the coming days and who are likely to receive the AstraZeneca vaccine? What impact will there be on their administration now? Will they be suspended indefinitely, or how do we go about dealing with those next?
Well, I think that's a very important question. The first thing is, yes, the AstraZeneca vaccine administrations have been paused for now. And then work will be ongoing, as even starting already, to see how then they can be accommodated within the vaccination program, recognizing that at the moment, as much vaccine comes in and as available is being given out in a very rapid time frame. But that all has to be now worked on over the next days as to what those next steps are to continue to roll out the vaccination program to those who need it most, as quickly and as efficiently and as safely as can be done.
Do those who had appointments that have been cancelled for today or for the coming days, do they need to do anything, or will they be contacted directly about their own next steps?
I think there will be more information coming out today from the HSE, or from the Department of Health. And so we'll wait that further information.
Can I just talk to you very briefly then about the whole question of risk versus benefit? And you've been fairly clear in what you've already told me in the phone this morning, that you still believe that there is much better benefit from the administration of this AstraZeneca vaccine than there is any potential risk. A lot of people will see that ratio as being skewed now by what NIAC and the government have decided to do this morning.
Yeah.
That if ever AstraZeneca is once again cleared for use, that there may be some clouds or doubts in their mind.
Yep.
What do you say to those who may have those fears now?
Well, what I say is that, of course, it's a major concern in terms of taking an action like this and pausing, because it might diminish the confidence in the overall program. But what I say to them is this, actually, you should look at it as giving you more confidence, because what we are doing is really paying attention and looking to make sure that what is being recommended for you is safe, so that if we are able to come back, and hopefully, I really hope we will, and be able to say, no, this was just a chance occurrence, that the balance absolutely favors getting the vaccine, that you will be able to trust in that, because our goal from the outset has been transparency. We knew that there would be ups and downs right from the beginning. I said, it will never be a straight path. There will always be ups and downs. And unfortunately, they are difficult to deal with, but I don't think anyone wants us to be sidelining them or pushing them under the carpet. And that should give people confidence, so that if then we're able to come out and the EMA have looked at this in detail and all the other information we can get and say, no, this is more likely a chance occurrence or just what would be expected in the population at this time, not related to the vaccine, and that we can go ahead with the program because we know of the very real benefits that it affords. And yes, absolutely, a real point is that we do know that COVID itself is associated with a higher risk of clotting. Now, most people who get COVID don't have those complications. Mm. Those who are very sick have higher risk, but sometimes even in those who've had relatively mild infection. And so one of the things that has to be looked at in more detail is whether these events have happened to occur in people who had previously maybe had COVID unknown to everyone asymptomatically. So all of that is information that has to be teased out over the coming days. And so that if we are then, and I really do hope we will be able to resume the program, because AstraZeneca has been shown to be, you know, really, really effective in preventing serious illness and hospitalization. So that would be fantastic. And now even there's data showing that AstraZeneca, you know, will have an impact on transmission as well. So we really want to be able to use the vaccines, and it is very difficult to pause it like this, but individual safety is paramount. And those who are due to get it, particularly those high-risk groups, they've been doing so well in shielding themselves from COVID. And we just ask them to do that a little bit longer till we can get this sorted out for you and can bring you safe vaccines. And hopefully AstraZeneca will be right up at the front of that.
Okay. Final question then, just before I let you go. Obviously, you'll be paying a lot of attention to the experiences of other countries and to see whether other countries take similar steps as Ireland has now done. The country that has the most experience of applying the AstraZeneca vaccine is the UK. They've got significantly many more multiples of us. What experience do they have? What have they found? And is there anything that we should read into the fact that they have not suspended the program in the way that we have?
There was a lot of comfort that from that, because you're absolutely right. They have used over 11 million doses, and there was only possibly one similar event in that could easily be just a random. And great reassurance was taken from that, particularly before notification of these four events that came to our attention yesterday. And so no doubt they will be looking at that, and we will be looking to them as well and their analysis to feed into the recommendations that will come out. Because yes, they have 11 million doses and now probably more that have been used. In Europe, overall, in terms of clotting events, the numbers were small. It was about 30 in 5 million doses. AstraZeneca had looked at it. Now, this is before yesterday, and they had reviewed data on 10 million doses. So all of that was very good. But what was different is just that these were very low numbers of what seemed very unusual and very severe events. And it could be just by chance. And hopefully that will be the case. But we felt, given last night, and there were people scheduled to start vaccination today, and some of those, it has to be said, in our higher risk groups for other reasons, that we felt that the safest thing to do was to pause. And we hope that that pause will be a very short pause. And we definitely, you know, are looking for understanding, I suppose, from people, understanding that we are trying to do the best thing to get the right vaccine to the right person at the right time.
Okay. It has been a very busy morning for you, Karina, so we'll let you go. Thank you very much for joining us so unexpectedly this morning and at such short notice. Very much appreciate your time today. Okay. That's Professor Karina Butler, who is the chair of the National Immunization Advisory Committee.